Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Foursquare shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof. Thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is, over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of the atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and an half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And it shall, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before your souls. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So shall they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even unto him and to his seed throughout their generations. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and oil olive and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointment, an anointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot, And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first section, verses 1 through 10, we have the altar of incense, as it is called. So it is about 20 inches by 20 inches, or 18 or 19 inches by 18 or 19 inches, and then it's twice that in height. So about 36 or 40 inches tall. And so it sits in the first room of the Holy of Holies. Not in that second room, but in that holy place, in the first room, where the table of the showbread is, that place Aaron went into every day to dress the lamps, to make sure the light remained in its burning, to change the showbread, all of that, the bread of the face and so on, where that table was, there was an altar of incense also. The incense, we find out from the book of Revelation, in that visionary temple scene, represents the prayers of the saints. But notice that it is Aaron who sets that incense upon that altar of incense, that cloud of incense may indeed manifest itself or permeate throughout that first room, the holy place. And so we have Aaron then as a type of Christ offering up the prayers of the people of God before the Lord. So it's a wonderful picture of the intercession of Christ Jesus. I remember we were reading just last week in Samuel Rutherford together, some of us, and Rutherford speaks of that sweet intercession of Christ. This is what is pictured here in this altar of incense. The altar itself is gold. It is all of gold, and it has four horns on it, and once in the year, when Aaron is to take the blood into the holy place, the holiest place, to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, he is to take some of that blood also and to rub it on the horns, the four horns of that altar of incense. That altar of incense also had the same designation of a temporary nature, of a movable nature, in that it had sticks and rings to carry it around. Sticks overlaid with gold, rings of gold, as we saw in the big altar, the altar of burnt sacrifice, those staves must have been something akin to 6x6 or 4x6 beams because of how big that altar was. We're not told how many Levites it took to carry it upon their shoulders. I guarantee you it was more than four. Here we have four men carrying this altar of incense, or perhaps even two, depending on how much it weighed, although at 40 inches tall and 20 by 20 overlaid with gold, it would have been quite heavy, in my opinion. So probably four men also, one at each corner. This incense then represents the prayers of the saints, mediated by the high priest, that is represented there by Aaron and representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is telling us that he receives our prayers, that we can have a knowledge that he condescends to hear us in Christ Jesus when we pray. There ought not to be a more comforting thought to God's people that they have a hearing with him. All right, so then in verses 11 through 16, we have what is called the temple tax. The temple tax, the half shekel of the temple. This is that point at which in the New Testament we read the scribes coming to Peter, "Does your master pay the tax?" They're not talking at that point about the Roman tax. They're talking about the shekel of, or the half shekel of the temple. Well, Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. And yet Peter comes to him and he says, "Well, let me ask you this. The kings of the earth, what happens with regard to their children? Do they pay taxes, or is it just the subjects?" Well, the children are free. And Jesus says, "Yes, but lest we offend them, then go fishing, Peter. Pull out a fish. Take your angle. Go over to the lake, and the first fish that you pull out will have enough for both you and me. And go give that to them." That's the temple tax, okay? It's not a tithe. It is not a proportional giving. It is ceremonial. It pertained only to the temple. And yet there is a moral underpinning, right, that we read about in the New Testament, that those who labor of the gospel should indeed be supplied by the gospel. In other words, that there are lights to keep on, and there's a minister whose living we need to provide, and so on. And so those tithes and offerings that we use are indeed for those purposes. But notice that this was something that was exacted upon all the males in Israel, 20 years old and upward, and it was ceremonial. So there is no non-proportional giving today that, you know, you become a church member and here's your monthly bill. No, we don't do that. It was ceremonial and non-proportional. Everyone gave the same amount. It was a very unifying thing that spoke to the responsibility of everyone as they enjoyed the benefits of what went on in the temple. All right, so then in verses 17 through 21, the next section, we have the laver of brass. Again, brass is the metal of judgment. It's also a metal that is more impervious to wear and tear and rust than gold. And so we have then those things that are outside where the judgment of God takes place. And there is an aspect of judgment in our washing, right? It is a confession that we are in need of washing. And so the metal brass is used for the laver. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet in that before they approach the altar, and before they approach the altar of incense, and before they approach the holy place. And it's a testimony like we hear with our Lord Jesus Christ in the Upper Room Discourse in John chapter 3, when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. We ought to understand this is that New Testament concept. It's the moral underpinning of the laver itself being brought into the New Testament. Notice that Aaron and his sons were not required to wash them every whit, but only their hands and their feet, which is similar to what Jesus said to Peter. That's why Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 to the age, you'll never wash me." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Then Peter says, "Okay, well then why stop at the feet? Give me my head, my hands, everything." And Jesus says, "It's only necessary that we wash the feet at this time." And what Jesus is teaching us is that there is a kind of ongoing cleansing that we undergo, that there is an initial cleansing, which is represented at our baptism, that Aaron represented in his initial anointing when he was washed with water in the presence of all of the people. And then now there is this hands and feet, this ongoing maintenance, this ongoing confession of sin and being cleansed from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1. So both are true. There is an initial cleansing that takes place where the Spirit of God comes upon us and washes our heart. And then there is that necessary cleansing that takes place every day, Every time we approach the Lord, as Aaron and his sons did, we are washing, we are confessing our sins, we are asking the Lord for forgiveness, we are asking Him for knowledge and for new obedience and how to avoid temptation, and so on and so on. So both of those things there are true. So that's the laver of brass for washing. And then in the final section, verses 22 through 38, two particular potions, perfumes, that are to be built up for the use only and exclusively of the worship of God. One of them is made like an ointment or a lotion, particular spices, in particular proportions. And there is a great warning. Don't you dare make this for your own anointing at home. This belongs to the Lord. That is, that all of the utensils of the service be rubbed with this special lotion, the special ointment, the special smell, so that the temple would, or the tabernacle would smell like nothing else ever. That it would indeed be bathed in this sweetness, cinnamon and cassia, all these wonderful smells. And let's remember also that this is a part of the tutelage, the church under age kind of a church that existed in the Old Testament. Let's remember also that what did they do in that place? That's right, they killed animals. They sprinkled blood. They did all kinds of things like that. And so this smell was like we learned when we were talking about instruments. Do you remember? When those men came to Jerusalem three times in a year, and what did they find in Jerusalem at that time? They found essentially a slaughterhouse. And what did God give them to overcome their natural adversity to the sounds of dying animals and the smells of dying animals and so on? He gave them an orchestra and a choir like none other that they knew anywhere that they lived. And while those sacrifices were being performed, the orchestra was playing and the choir was singing to drown out, if you will, or to attract the attention to something that was artful and tasteful and wonderful instead of the killing and slaying and sprinkling of blood that was going on. That's part of the Old Testament primary color religion, the church under age, the church in her minority. So also here in this special anointing rub that was to be placed on all of the appliances within and without the tabernacle. And they made that, so they had to make it in an ongoing fashion. And every time they picked up and moved, they set everything back down. And part of what they did was they wiped these sweet-smelling spices and perfumes on all of those utensils again, that the tabernacle would be restored to its sweetness, that they would recognize the greatness of God's holiness, the sweetness of their forgiveness in Christ, and so on. And so there were two things. That first ointment, and then that perfume. And that perfume was to be taken inside the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement and to be placed on the floor round about the Ark of the Covenant. And that was also to provide that kind of sweet aroma because of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that was set forth upon the lid of the box, the hilasterion, the mercy seat, if you will. All right, thus ends the reading of Exodus chapter 30.